Harry's net.
Good evening. This is KC5GOI, and it is that time of the month again. Sorry, I'm going to get this audio level set real quick. Okay, tonight's night is an Aries training net, and I wanted to record the audio this weekend, or this evening. So, sorry for the last little bit there. Okay, this is KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries training net. Tonight's net is a training net. At any point in time, if stations have emergency traffic, please use the pro sign break break and wait to be acknowledged by Net Control. Tonight we're going to talk about emergency power, and I'm going to be focusing specifically on batteries, but the conversation is not going to be limited strictly to that. So, with that, I'm going to go through check-ins first. I'm looking for any of my liaisons or alternate EC. Please check in at this time.
Kilo Foxtrot 5, Lima, Delta, Juliet. City is the calling.
Kilo Echo 5, Mike Zulu Tango, American Red Cross, Sarah Ann.
Hey, Bravo 5, November Zulu Victor, Gerald.
Kilo 5. Whiskey X-ray Romeo, American Red Cross. I'm confused. Medical Reserve Corps.
Alrighty, at this time, Net Control acknowledges KF5LDJ. KE5MZT for Red Cross. WB5NZV. And K5WXR for the Medical Reserve Corps. Last call for assistant EC and any liaisons. Please go now. Okay, at this point in time, I'm going to do open check-ins. All stations, please use your call signs phonetically and wait to be acknowledged by Net Control. Don't be surprised if I do a little bit of a gap in between to let other stations go. If you think you've been stepped on through a double, please wait until I go through the list before you try again. At this point in time, all stations, please check in.
Kilo Zero, Charlie, Sierra, Whiskey, Lucas.
Kilo 5, Alpha, Golf, Oscar.
Kilo Echo 5, Golf, Delta, Bravo, Andrew.
Charlie 5, Alpha, Mike, Tango, Kelly.
55, Tango, Charlie, November, Jim.
Kilo Golf 5, Hotel, Hotel, Kilo, wait.
Charlie 5, Delta Charlie Tango, Tim.
Kilo Golf 5, Bravo Charlie Romeo, Darren.
Alpha Foxtrot 5, Romeo Zulu.
Papa Charlie Charlie Peggy.
Number 5, Juliet Tango, John.
Kilo Alpha Juliet Jeff.
November 5, Juliet Jeff.
Kilo Golf 5, India Bravo, November, Ron.
Kilo Golf 5, November, Sierra Hotel, Steven.
All righty, all stations, please stand by. Peggy, I had somebody do talk on top of you, so I just got your name. I know you got a KG5 call, but can you give me the last end of it, Peggy?
It's Kilo Mike 5, Papa Charlie.
I'm going to remember that call one of these days. You definitely got a unique call. Thank you, Peggy. Okay, at this point in time, Net Control recognizes Kilo Zero Charlie Sierra Whiskey, Kilo 5 Alpha Golf Oscar, Kilo Echo 5 Golf Delta Bravo, Kilo Charlie 5 Alpha Mike Tango, Whiskey 5 Tango Charlie November, Kilo Golf 5 Hotel Hotel Kilo, Kilo Charlie 5 Delta Charlie Tango, Kilo Golf 5 Bravo Charlie Romeo, Alpha Foxtrot 5, Romeo Zulu, November 5, Tango Juliet. I have a station ending in Kilo Alpha Juliet. I'll come back to you in just a second. November 5, India Kilo Delta, Kilo Golf 5, India Bravo November, Kilo Golf 5, November Zulu Hotel, and Kilo Mike 5, Papa Charlie Charlie. The station ending in Kilo Alpha Juliet, you quick keyed on me. So do me a favor, and this applies to everyone. Some of the call signs I recognize, so that's how I got them. Key up, take a breath, and then give the call sign. At this point in time, only the station ending in Kilo Alpha Juliet, please.
Aries Net.
Kilo Golf 5, Kilo Alpha Juliet, Jeff.
Okay, Jeff, copied. Thank you. Additional stations wishing to check in at this time, please give your call sign phonetically and wait to be acknowledged by Net Control.
Whiskey 5, Golf Whiskey Alpha, Gordon.
November 5, Juliet Tango, John.
Kilo Golf 5, November Sierra Hotel, Stephen.
Kilo Charlie Zero, Uniform, Uniform Oscar, Rob.
Alrighty, this will be the last round for check-ins at this point in time, and I'll ask again after we go through the topic. Net Control acknowledges Whiskey 5, Golf Whiskey Alpha. Gordon, if you haven't checked your email, please do so real quick. November 5, Juliet Tango. I've got you corrected. Kilo Golf 5, November Sierra Hotel. And Kilo Charlie Zero, Uniform, Uniform Oscar. Appreciate everybody checking in tonight. This is Kilo Charlie 5, Golf Oscar India, Net Control for Denton County Aries Training Net. Okay, for everyone, just a reminder, I am recording tonight's net so we can post it up on the website like we've done the last several. I've had some feedback on people thanking me for posting them. We used to do this several years ago. Then I didn't have any feedback on it, so I let it lapse. We're back to people actually listening to them again, so I appreciate that. And you can always go back and reference it again later on down the line. The thing I wanted to talk about tonight is emergency power. And the focus is going to be on batteries, but this isn't totally limited to battery power because you can have things like a generator, whether it is operated off gasoline, diesel, or propane. That comes with, yes, you have a lot of power density. You have to remember to keep your fuel, watch your fuel levels, but you also have to deal with exhaust. So carbon monoxide, guys, it's a bad thing. So I have seen in QST, and right now I consider these kind of a one-off, but it would be really, really cool if we saw more of it, and that is the use of fuel cells. What I've seen in QST was someone had come up with a fuel cell that was able to run their station, and it was using hydrogen gas, byproduct being, you know, basically water. So, hey, that was awesome, but you really don't see a whole lot of it. You do see people using a battery-solar combination. The only thing I have to say about that, and it goes into the entire scope, it is, again, of think about your operational situation. How long do you plan to operate? Where can you operate? Do you have access to sun to keep batteries charged? So depending on what you're doing, it may or may not be an opportune thing to use. So you have to weigh it in your circumstances. So I'm not really endorsing one way or another, but I know how I've kind of taken my station. And for those of you that know me, sometimes I tend to go a little overboard, as Doug will be able to confirm with a National Parks on the Air activation that we did back in early June. So I've been playing with some battery power myself a little bit more than what, because it was just kind of on a track and playing with it, having fun with it, you know, kind of a thing. And I already knew from years and years and years ago. Now, you guys that have been around for a little while, it's going to be one of those head-slapping, well, duh sort of a thing. But we've got a lot of new hams in here, and I don't know the technical level set of everybody. So one of the things I want everybody to keep in mind is, as I talk about some batteries tonight, every battery composition type has different characteristics. I'm going to focus tonight on lead acid, mention nickel metal hydride, and I'm going to talk about lithium iron phosphate batteries. So let me mention this first, and this is one of those things I don't think a lot of people have looked at. If you get a copy of QST, guys, go back and do a thorough reading this month of the Doctor Is In column. And you're going to see where I'm coming from. But tonight's topic was coincidental with the Doctor's In column. I already had this topic planned back in December of last year. So it was really coincidental. Those of you that have operated SOTA or MP, National Parks on the Air, or gone out and done portable operations, you've probably done, the majority of you probably have done it on some sort of a battery power. Most likely it was a sealed lead acid battery, and it could be from something as small as a 12 volt 7 amp hour, maybe a 4.5 amp hour, 12 amp hour, or maybe even the marine batteries or a gel cell type battery. Okay, one of the things to keep in mind, those are still a lead type composition. And look at your battery voltages after the surface charge has been removed, okay? Remember that a lead-acid battery is, when charged, about 2.1 volts per cell, and a 12-volt battery comprises of six of those for a total of 12.6. So you're saying, okay, guy, yeah, we know all that. Where am I going with this? Well, simple. Gerald and I had one of those well duh moments years and years and years ago. We had set up a temporary digipeater back when the MS-150 used to go into Oklahoma and Ardmore because we had access to a site. So we put up a temporary digipeater and we were running it off of a 12 volt battery, and we had a power supply there to help kind of keep the thing charged. And we thought, hey, great, we're set, we're good to go. So we buttoned the whole place back up, took off, locked the gate, got about 4 miles out of the site location, and we started listening to the digipeater to see, you know, make sure it was behaving. And we noticed the audio was terrible. It was not usable for APRS whatsoever. And we were kind of scratching our heads like, huh, what's going on? Well, we turned around, went back, started doing some troubleshooting, and what we found was happening was, one, the battery we picked, well, it wasn't in the best of condition. When it was charged, it said, yeah, hey, I'm 12.6. I'm happy. But the second you threw any sort of a load on it, the voltage level dropped badly. Well, it dropped so badly that the radio hated it. The radio's stability, its audio output, it wasn't usable whatsoever. So we had to make a trip back with a better battery, and just in case, we took a bigger power supply, because the power supply couldn't do it by itself either. Now, we knew that going into it, but it's like, okay, we got to re-engineer our power station here. But my point is 12.6. Your radio is going to transmit and be okay at that. But as you start getting closer to 12, 11.5, maybe you're lucky enough to get to 11 volts. Your power output is going to drop commensurate to your voltage going in. And that goes into radio design and finals and all that jazz. And I'm not going to go there tonight. But it becomes a problem, okay? The more current draw you do, you'll see it. It becomes more pronounced. Now, if your voltage drops too low, your audio could be distorted. Your radio might switch off back on. And what's going to happen if it's keyed down, it's going to switch off. Then the battery voltage comes back up and the radio's happy again. Then it switches on again, but it's going to be in a keyed state. And guess what it does? It unkeys again. So you're getting, it sounds like somebody's jamming, somebody's kerchunking, you know, because it's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. It's not good for your radio, definitely.
AriesNet.
KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. So the thing, and I'm going to talk about the lead acid batteries here for a few minutes. So one of the things you really need to be able to do when you're looking at lead acid batteries, or any batteries for that matter, is see if you can get the data sheet on it, okay? That's a very important thing because you're going to need it to estimate your runtime. Now, you'll hear people talk about, well, I can run it until it's dead. Well, not unless you really want to destroy a battery, okay? One of the things you're looking at on the specification sheet on the batteries is its minimum voltage level. Keep in mind that minimum voltage level is also when it's under a load. It's not it's idle, it's when it's under a load. Now this applies to any battery. You do not want to get below that minimum voltage because if you do, you run a very high risk of damaging the battery that, you know, that you've invested in. Now, maybe somebody gave it to you. Well, there's probably a reason they gave it to you. So you got to think about that. Maybe you bought it new and you want to get the maximum lifespan out of that battery. So you really need to get the data sheets on it if they're available. If not, rule of thumb is 10.5. On a car, you're going to notice your starter. When you get around 10, 10.5, starter doesn't want to work well either. That's just coincidental with a starter motor. But my point is, don't let that battery get below 10.5. If you're using a battery booster, like the one of them MFJ makes, that's something you've got to keep an eye on. Okay, so how do I get maximum power? Well, most of your radios are designed to operate at 13.8 volts. Okay, you're not going to get that out of a single lead-acid battery. You're not going to get that out of a single 12-volt array of nickel-metal hydride. Now, when you start talking lithium iron phosphate, you need to look and see what's available on the market. And I'll talk about the lithium iron phosphate in a little bit. So, okay, guy, well, I'll take two 12-volt batteries, I'll put them in series, and I'll have 24 volts. Well, you could do that. Your radio's not going to like it. You'll probably blow the radio up before the fuse lets go. Look at your radio's ratings. You're going to find that most of them don't like being above 14.5, maybe 15 volts, okay? And that's built into the design of the radio. I don't know any radio manufacturer that is doing a radio that's capable of withstanding a 24-volt battery load or battery supply, or power supply for that matter. Okay, so I mentioned that Doug can testify that I tend to go a little overboard. Gerald see me do it too. And I do some of these things to see if they're feasible, okay? I've mentioned this to some of the other guys in the past. So I just happen to have, because of surplus batteries from where I work, I've got 8 12-volt 7-amp-hour batteries. And I thought, okay, cool. Well, I can put all of these in parallel, and that gives me, 56 amp hours of power at 12.6. Given all those batteries, the voltage drop on key up probably won't be that bad for a little bit, but I still won't be able to drive an HF rig to 100 watts. So what can I do? Well, I did some digging around, and it wasn't a whole lot of digging around. It was quick, quite easy to find. So what I did was I found an Astron, and they make different levels of these, a 24 to 12-volt converter. So that'll let me take in a maximum voltage of about 33 volts DC. It'll convert it to 13.8 volts. And under load, it actually came in at 13.5, and my radios are capable of full power at that voltage rating. So I was like, hey, cool, I'm going to do this. So I did. So when we went to the Ouachita battlefield back on June 4th of this year, I set up Doug and Spencer on that. It's a toolbox. It's got all the batteries in it. It's got the power converter in it. And I set up my IC7200. Buddy Paul set up and all of that. Gave them the power supply so they could run 100 watts. And I let them use it. When we got home, I checked the voltage levels on the batteries. I even threw them on the charger. And it really hadn't put too much of a dent in it. Now, Doug made 77-ish contacts. Last I heard, 58 confirmed. He's in good shape. And that's not bad turnout. The batteries really didn't get hit all that hard because it was, again, a distributed load. Had I used a pair of batteries, yeah, I'd probably put more in them. But there was a downside to this, but I knew it when I went together with it because I was trying to be cheap and use what I had. The problem is weight. I would not want to lug that thing any sort of a distance. That battery, that toolbox with the batteries in the converter, probably weighs upwards of 70 pounds. I can hear the oh my goodness and the oh geez and the eyes rolling and yeah, you knew better than that. Well, again, I was playing around with something. Now, I have a very good power source for that. I even have a different set of these 12 volt, 12 amp hour batteries that I can swap about. I've got an excellent power source there. But again, it is very heavy. But knew that going into it, and that's one of the things that you want to consider is weight. So what can I do different? Because I have done it different as of this week. Well, the one thing that I haven't done, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail because it's not really that popular of a battery, is the lithium ion batteries. Mainly you see those as AAAs, AAs, you can get them as 9 volt. And if you shop around, yeah, you can get them as C and D cell batteries. I'm sure you can get them in larger arrays if you want to put that kind of money in them. Or you can buy a Prius and have that big battery in the back. But, you know, they have a better power density, can maintain your output voltage longer than a lead-acid battery, okay? But they're more expensive, and you got to take care of the charging a little. They're less forgiving than a sealed lead-acid battery. The SLA batteries, short of putting too much voltage into them or not getting them off a power supply soon enough, you could cook them and damage them that way. So if you don't use a voltage controller, you got to monitor them. Well, with a nickel metal hydride, you've got a controller that you've got to use to make sure you don't cook those batteries and ruin them as well. KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. I don't think Andrew's on the air tonight, but he was showing this battery off at the club meeting last month. I went one step higher because I, again, tend to do things big. I picked up, and this is not an endorsement of the company specifically, off the air, talk to me, we'll go from there. But I picked up for $190 after shipping, a 12-volt 15 amp hour battery, and there's a reason I went with the 15 and not the 12 that Andrew did, though either one would have worked, lithium iron phosphate battery. Okay, yes, much more expensive than a lead acid battery. It is like 2 to 3 times the cost. But I have my wife, when it showed up the other day, I said, here is a 12 amp hour battery, and here is my 15 amp hour battery, my lithium iron phosphate. And she noticed the difference, and my 8-year-old son noticed the difference as well. It's a big difference. Now, it's probably still heavier than what somebody doing soda would want to do, but I'm not carrying around 2 or 3 7-amp-hour batteries. I'm not carrying around a heavier 12-amp-hour battery. But also, there's another advantage to this lithium iron phosphate battery.
AriesNet.
So let me discuss the talk about the differences in between them real quick. You heard me mention that the lead acid battery, after surface charge has been removed, is 12.6. Then you put a load on it. That voltage, depending on your battery, could easily lose 0.2 of a volt or even more. It depends on the size of the battery. The battery size and construction comes into the battery's internal resistance. Well, it's a power source. Well, guys, power sources have an impedance as well. It's not just a resistive or reactive load. So if you do something bad to a battery, bad things can happen. But depending on the internal resistance is one of the determining factors on how much current it's going to be able to release, and that impacts the voltage drop on the battery. Now, lithium iron phosphate batteries, lighter, more expensive, but they can maintain a more optimal output voltage and current over a longer period of time. For those of you that have used lithium ion batteries in things like your cordless drill, you'll have noticed a long time ago, yeah, it's working great, working great, working great, working great, and then all of a sudden you just go, I'm going to give up my stop. Well, there's a protection circuit in there when the voltage hits a certain point that it says no. Unless you have something on a lead acid battery that says, hey, my voltage is getting too low, I'm going to cut off, or just, hey, I'm going to pester you until you stop abusing me, you could ruin one of those. But because they don't want to get into problems with warranty claims, these lithium iron phosphate batteries have, it's a charge controller and a output voltage monitor that keeps you from doing something like that. So what you'll see happen is you start using the lithium iron phosphate battery and it'll probably settle down, my testing on 100 watt radio settles down to, about 13.2, 13.3 under 100 watt load into 100 watt transmit power into a dummy load. Okay. Now on sideband, that's going to vary as a person's talking, CW, your key in, FM. When you key up your FM transmitter, you're pulling current no matter what. You may be dead keyed, not talking, but if you're keyed up, you're still pulling current, okay? So keep that in mind. We're going to talk about estimating power in just a minute, okay? So these are the performance characteristics of the batteries. You need to be looking at them. Again, reference the data sheets regardless of the battery construction or battery composition type. Look at your amp hour ratings. Look at the voltages. Where do you want to spend your money? I realize not everybody can or wants to spend money on a lithium iron phosphate. And be honest, if I hadn't had the Labor Day weekend full of on-calls, I probably wouldn't have bought the lithium iron phosphate battery right now because I had this other working setup. I could, okay? But not everybody wants to. There are, again, ways around it. Just keep your trade-offs in mind. This is KC5GOI, Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. Okay, so now we kind of have a general idea of batteries, what to look for, characteristics, stuff like that. Why is all that important? Why do I need to know these things? Okay, this is where if you get QST, go read the doctor's in column for more detail into it. And you can find how to estimate battery life on various websites, okay? Steer clear of forum chat, guys, because it's full of misinformation. People, they don't understand it. They miss it badly, okay? Regardless of the battery composition, the amount of load that you put on the battery determines how long that battery is going to be able to deal with providing what you need, okay? Now, one of the things you need to understand is that amp hour rating. I mean, some people love it. I hate amp hour. I think it can be misleading. unless you know how to interpret it, but they're caveats, okay? One of those caveats is how much load are you putting? If you've got a battery that's rated at 35 amp hours, you cannot say that pulling 1 amp will last you 35 hours. That does not equal pulling 35 amps for 1 hour. The battery can only do so much, and how much you stress it determines a lot of how long it will supply. So again, check the data sheets on your batteries. The next thing you want to consider, and you really need to do these measurements if at all possible, if you don't have the tools, find an Elmer that does. This is a good place for Elmers to come in. Get an idea of how much your radio draws. Now, this is a little tougher with an HT unless you use you can do the measurements by using an external power source, but you need an amp meter in line. You want to know how much current you're drawing and the voltage that you have when both of these are going on. Yeah, you can derive the power going into the radio. That's something you're going to need to know. Okay, and bear in mind, if you get a radio that's 50% efficient, you're doing good. Because most radios are closer to 40% efficient. It doesn't matter if it's AM, sideband, FM, CW, you know, doesn't matter. Okay, for example, my IC7200 at 100 watts, it still pulls 20 amps at 13.3. That's about 260-ish watts being consumed to transmit 100 watts out. Where's that other power going? Guys, it's heat and what's needed to run the radio. So what you want to do is get an idea of what your radios draw. Okay. For example, a typical 50-watt FM VHF transmitter will pull in between 10 and 12 amps at 13.8 volts. So we're looking around 150 watts of consumed power here. Not very efficient. Okay, that's just, sorry, transistors, go figure. Anyway, you know what your consumption is going to be. Then you can look at your battery and see how long will this battery last me, or it will let you plan for how much battery you think you're going to need. Now, there's other things to keep in mind with that as well, and that's going to be the role that you are playing if it's an emergency event, if you're contesting, if you're doing something like national parks on the air, if you're at a rest stop, if you're at a pod for MRC or Red Cross, things like that. Okay, so think about that. Now, I know I'm giving you a lot to consider here, okay? But again, if you get the QST, read it. If you don't, and you know somebody that does, borrow it from them when they're done with it. KC5GOI Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Unit. Now, when everybody took their test, everybody pretty much either got the question or saw it studying that you want to use the minimum amount of power to do your communication. Okay, the idea behind that was don't use more power than you need so other people can use the radio spectrum, but it also has another benefit. One, wear and tear on the radio. Two, how long is that battery going to last? So, how much power do you really need? In Denton County, guys, we are blessed with the voter system that we have. Take advantage of it if you're operating on 9.2, okay? The Louisville repeater does quite well as well. I can hit it with 5 watts from Denton on a J-pole at about 10 foot up in the air. So why should I run 50 watts and consume 12 amps when I can run it 5 watts and pull closer to 6 or 7 amps?
AriesNet.
Something else you need to take into consideration that can help you minimize your power consumption is your antenna and your coax. These are all basic station things, okay? So if you need some guidance on that, by all means, Find an Elmer, hit somebody up at the club, ask these questions. Steer clear of Radio Shack type coax. It is terribly lossy and it doesn't help you out. So good grade coax is, you know, do what you can afford. So you want to optimize your station as much as possible. So that could be, to keep your power down, is good coax. Good, clean, solid connections on the coax. What antenna are you using? Okay. Is the antenna working like it's supposed to? Is it being efficient? You could put up a quarter wave antenna with a ground plane. You could use a J-pole, whether it's something made out of copper pipe, aluminum rod, or twin lead. You can do something like that. Antenna gain is your friend, okay? So is everything operating like it's supposed to so you can run a minimum power? Guys, if it's not working well and you're dumping a lot of power into it, remember, you're burning up your battery, you're making your radio hot, and it's cutting your life, okay, on what your operational period is. So again, take a look at your coax and your connections. That's where most of the station problems arise. Now, the role that you're playing, it differs depending on what you're doing. So in most net situations, you have a net control station. That person, tonight being me, consumes a lot of transmit time. Therefore, I'm pulling more off of my power supply and my batteries. So if I'm going to want to stay on the air for an extended period of time, I need to keep these things in mind and make sure I've got either the battery or the generator source, or if I'm really exotic, enough hydrogen for my fuel cell. Okay. But those are things I need to take into consideration. If you're operating, for example, at a pod for MRC or the Red Cross, your transmit time, you're going to do more listening, okay, than transmitting. Okay. So that helps you out on your battery life rather dramatically. Now, one of the current measurements you want to take, not only is your transmit power, but what is your idle when you're just receiving? Now, there is receiving closed squelch, received open squelch, or receive when somebody's talking. If you put a ammeter in series with your radio, look at your current when the squelch is closed, when the radio's silent. Then crack the squelch open so it's making hiss. You're going to see the current draw goes up. Well, it should. You got a speaker going, okay? You got an audio amplifier in there working. It's doing stuff. You should see similar current draw results when somebody's talking on the radio, okay? So these are things that you need to factor in. And in the doctor is in column, they talk about, and I'm not going to go into the math, how to help calculate it and that your role does come into play. If you're doing a National Parks on the Air station, for example, or SOTA, you're going to do a lot of transmitting. One, you're going to be calling CQ, looking for stations. Two, you're going to be answering stations with the exchange. Three, when you're not doing an exchange, you're trying to make sure you keep the frequency so somebody doesn't hijack it from you. So your transmit time is going to be higher. Now, for SOTA, I think the goal was 10 watts or less. For National Parks on the Air, it's been ranging from people working QRP all the way up to 100 watts. So these are things that you factor in, things to consider. All right, again, with that, guys, I recommend that you go looking on the ARRL website. Depending on your member, not determines what you can and can't search. Get a copy, get your hands on whether you beg, borrow, steal, if you're not a member of the league. Take a look at the doctor is in column for this month. He talks about how to do this calculation and things to consider. Again, it just happened to be coincidental. I planned 6 months ago to do this topic. Then that article came out. So it was really good timing. For those of us that have been in Mars, Texas Army Mars, and Air Force Mars, we've been given training material on how to calculate this exact same thing. And it's pretty much the same formula that you're going to see in the Doctor is in column. With that, I'm going to conclude tonight's training net. I do have a few announcements to make. I have checked the roster for, and I've intentionally been letting it build. I haven't been ignoring people, but I've been intentionally letting it build. I have 11 responses right now for the City of Argyle exercise. This is going to be on next Wednesday, I believe that's the 29th. I've got 11 people signed up. I'm going to acknowledge all of you in just a minute. I have not done assignments yet. I'm looking for more people to sign up. For this event, guys, 11's not going to be enough from what I'm being told. We have to staff. I was given some information earlier today that these 11 that I have are pretty much allocated just for dispatching to hospitals. So I need additional operators for this event. At this point in time, I'm going to acknowledge Gordon Alberry, Wayne Krebs, Rob Sutter, Hal Thomas, Darren Tennyson, Andrew Dendell, Michael Porter, Kelly Rourke, Leo Hogard, Lee Northup, and Doug King. Okay, guys, I do need additional operators. I know this particularly this end of the month is being really, really busy. But I still need more operators. I'm looking for people that can be shadows, that can be with the people that are going to be dispatching, because I've been told this is going to be a little different. I'm going to need net control operators, things of that nature. So go to the Aries website. The form is there. Please sign up. I know for those of you that work, it means taking time off. But this is really going to be an event that's worthwhile. I think it is a very important thing. This scenario is something that could happen. Y'all have seen this in the news, and it's something that actually could happen. And it's important that as amateur radio operators that we demonstrate to the agencies what we can do and what our value is. But it's also important that they do this so they can iron out the kinks that they're going to run into. This is ambitious, but I do believe that something like this really could happen. It's not some pie-in-the-sky weird thing. It really could happen, so it's really important. So what else makes the end of June busy? Well, unless you have been on another planet without internet, I guess, at this point, this coming weekend, Field Day, that setup will be starting in the morning. Kelly has got the information on Field Day, and I'll let him go in a little bit more detail on that when we go through the comments phase. He can expand on all of that. We also have Tour de Cure. If you have not signed up for Tour de Cure, I believe it's on the club webpage, please sign up. I suspect Doug is also needing operators. Both of these events are this weekend. I've been told we expect Tour de Cure to end sometime around or just after noon. So that leaves you freed up to do Field Day. So I'm going to go do Field Day on my own this year. I'm taking my son to go do that. But we have Field Day and Tour de Cure this coming Saturday. And then we have on the 29th, again, we've got the Argyle City exercise. So I look forward to everyone that can volunteer for this. I really appreciate that. At this point in time, do I have any additional stations wishing to check in? Please give your call sign phonetically and wait to be acknowledged by Net Control.
Aries Net.
Whiskey Bravo 6, Victor X-ray Kilo, Doug.
Kilo, Scott 5, Kilo, Bravo November, Scott.
Okay, Net Control acknowledges Doug and Scott. Thanks, guys, for checking in. I'm going to jump sequence a little bit tonight. KF5GWA. Gordon, did you want to talk about your alternate power source that you had emailed me?
Yes, this is W5GWA Gordon. Thank you, guy. Excellent presentation tonight. Really appreciate it. A tremendous amount of information. With respect to portable power, I did find something interesting. I happen to be an owner of a Prius. I've had it since 2006. And being a member of MRC and also Saturn, which is the Salvation Army group, I was looking for to do portable power takeoff from my Prius, and I found out something pretty interesting. After doing some research, I found that the Prius is an excellent portable power source, and you don't pull it from the main batteries. Actually, you can pull up to 1,000 watts off the accessory battery, which is in the back. It's a small battery, but you can pull 1,000 watts because the feeds that keep it charged are fed by the main battery, which is a large 23-cell, 220-volt system, and then that itself is backed up by a gasoline engine. So basically, to use it, you leave the ignition on, and you can pull up to 1,000 watts, and the engine only runs about every 10 or 15 minutes to recharge the main batteries, which are recharging the accessory battery. So most of the time, it's completely quiet, and even when running, a Prius is really quiet. So I did some calculations, and basically, based on a full tank of gas, you should be able to run for at least 36 hours. It really uses very, very little gas just to keep that charged. And that's, I was really pleased to see that capability. Of course, it's pretty easy to fuel and move around, so I decided I had an old 400-watt generator, gasoline generator, and I got rid of it after I figured this out. And since then I've hooked up a little trolling motor connector, and I can connect to that either my radio. I have a Yaesu FT450D, which also is 100 watts output, and I can also hook up a 110-volt inverter. So that was really good to see for me. I was very, very pleased with that. And if anyone has a Prius or wants to know more, I can send you details and the websites and all that. But just a really interesting solution to find out that the Prius could do a lot more than I thought it could as to being a portable source. So that's it for me. This is W5GWA, back to Net.
Appreciate you checking in the Net tonight, Gordon. Thanks a lot, and 73. Michael, KF5LDJ, good evening. Your questions and comments for the Net tonight.
This is KF5LDJ. Guy, good Net as always, and always appreciate the training. And this is good stuff for new and old hams. So I've learned a little myself. And very important right now, my portable station is AC powered, and I need to take my battery box and retool it and get it ready for portable use right now. So, Guy, I appreciate it as always. This is KF5LDJ, back to Net.
Thank you for checking in the Net tonight, Michael. Have a good evening. KE5MZT, good evening. Sarah Ann, your questions and comments.
Well, it's a great review of batteries, and the idea of the Prius is extremely interesting. I'm sorry I'm not going to be around for some of the events that are coming up, but thanks again. It was a great Net. This is KE5MZT out.
Thank you, Sarah Ann. Have a good evening. WB5NZV, good evening. Gerald, your questions and comments.
WB5NZV, good evening, Guy and Annette. Really great training tonight, good Net. And I really have nothing further to add. WB5NZV, back to Net.
Thank you, Gerald. K5WXR, good evening, Lee. Questions, comments for the Net tonight?
Excellent Net, as always. Thank you very much. Just one quick reminder that the Prius battery thing sounded fantastic, but let's not forget all of us drive vehicles that can, you know, generate about 50 amps to 100 amps or so in an emergency. So anyway, thank you, K5WXR.
You're welcome, Lee. Thank you for joining the Net tonight. K0CSW, good evening. Lucas, your questions and comments for the Net tonight.
is going to be that tonight I learned a Prius is good for something other than making me cuss when I'm trying to get onto the highway behind one. Hi. Outside of that, excellent information. Always appreciate what you share, guy. And nothing further to add. K0CSW, back to net.
Appreciate it, Lucas. Thank you. Have a good evening. K5AGO, good evening. Jack, your questions and comments for the net tonight.
Good evening, guy. Good evening to the net. My shack's been on solar power for about 10 years, except for a linear amplifier. And the payback period is for all the equipment is not attainable at all. Solar power is really meant for people who are completely off the grid. But I've got 660 amp hours of battery and about 675 watts of solar panel. And it's really great when the utility power goes down because I power my ham radio station. I've got public service radios, small television, weather radios, and the weather station all remain active without having to start up the generators. As far as the net tonight, I was quite interested in the lithium phosphate battery. I'm tempted to start to dabble in that because it really seems like a fun thing to do, especially for a portable operation. My solar system cannot go anywhere. I'm probably going to take the next step into that. K5AGO, back to net control.
Jack, I'll email you the web address of where I got, Andrew and I both got our batteries from, and you can go from there. One of the things to take a look at on those is how long you want it to run. The prices jump for a little bit, about $20 per different size of battery. Their current output is something you want to keep an eye on to match up to your radio. So where I went a little over, where Andrew did, while the 12-amp-hour battery that Andrew got can supply 20 amps for a long period of time, my radio can pull that, and I was worried that the overcurrent draw circuit might complain. So I went with a 15-amp-hour, and it's rated to supply 30. So, but I had fun doing the research on the batteries. I've been looking at it for a couple of weeks, so appreciate you checking in tonight. KE5GDB, good evening, Andrew. Your questions and comments.
Hey, guys. As a lot of y'all know, I like to fly high-altitude weather balloons, and this past weekend I had another launch, so sharing payloads together. And it's interesting, the batteries I used on these are 3-volt, 9.5-amp, or D-cells. Ultimately, I flew with three of them that gave me 3-volts, and that was for Baofeng, and two of them series for the Raspberry Pi. I had some ground loop issues I couldn't quite resolve before the flight, so I ended up just doubling up on power, and it worked really well. So imagine a 2-pound styrofoam box made out of faucet covers with, you know, effectively 9.5 amp hours at, what is that, 9 and 6 volts. That's a lot of energy. Came in just under 2 pounds. So anyway, fun stuff. Power is always a great concern when it comes to portable operations, and definitely a big concern when it comes to balloons. Some of the guys that fly these floaters on Mylar balloons, you know, these 4 or 5 gram payloads, they just use your typical lithium ion cell phone battery, and they have a little set of solar panels. I'm talking microscopic. It's, you know, what, about 4 inches long at most, and they manage to fly these things around the world tens of times. So anyway, power is just a very interesting subject and of great, great concern for balloonists. So anyway, back to you guys. This is KE5GDB.
Appreciate it, Andrew. Thank you very much, and have a good evening. KC5AMT, good evening, Kelly. I'm sure you got some field day comments. Anything else?
Thank you, Guy, and everyone else for your participation and hosting the net. I really appreciate it. It's a great topic tonight. I learned quite a bit. As far as field day, we got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to be getting out to the park around 8 o'clock Saturday morning to start doing our setup. And once we have that done, around 1 o'clock is when we'll go on the air live for the contest. We've got a lot of folks that we're expecting to show up. I've had several elected officials that have contacted me that intend to make an appearance, so I'm excited about that. We've also got a demonstration set up for a satellite system, and that's going to be from 3 to 5, so I'm excited about that. And Mike, AE5IV, is going to bring some test equipment out, and we'll be able to test some antennas in your car. So you'll be able to pull your car right up to the machine, unhook your antenna, hook it to the monitor, see how your antennas, your mobile antennas are performing, and then maybe get a little advice on how to tune those up and move on out for the next guy. So, and of course, we do have the food scheduled to be at 5 o'clock. We're doing burgers and dogs, keeping the menu kind of simple, but we've got our head chef ready to go, and that should be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to a really big turnout and a lot of people enjoying things and getting to learn some new stuff. Oh, and I left out, we're doing BC-10 also. This is KC5AM, back to net.
Kelly, can you repeat everything after, oh, I forgot, you got, sounds like you transitioned voters.
Oh, I forgot. We've also got a broadband hamnet demonstration going to take place, so should be a lot of fun for everybody. KC5 AMT.
Appreciate it, Kelly. Have a good evening. W5 TCN, good evening, Jim. Your questions and comments.
The car, the electric car, was very interesting. It really was. Glad to see moves in that direction. Look at me, I transitioned to a electric AC lawnmower and edger, and I like it myself. I still got gasoline, but I'm slowly getting tired of repairing the bad gas stuff, and the other mixtures don't work. W5TCN, back to net control.
Okay, appreciate it, Jim. Have a good evening. KG5, Hotel Kilo, your questions and comments for the net tonight.
Guy, thanks for another good net tonight. Learned a lot about batteries I didn't know. The Prius thing was pretty interesting, but that's about it for me. Kilo-5, Hotel Kilo, back to net.
Thank you for checking in. This is Kilo Charlie 5 Golf Oscar India Net Control Denton County Aries Training Net. Next on the list tonight is Kilo Charlie 5 Delta Charlie Tango. Good evening. Your questions and comments.
Thanks for the rundown on the batteries. Very interesting. I use LiPos for my KX3. I got a couple of them. Used one a couple weeks ago and it lasted almost 24 hours. So, it works for me with that low power radio. I haven't tried to power anything higher yet. KC5 DCT, back to net.
Appreciate it very much. Have a good evening. KG5 BCR, your questions and comments for the net tonight.
No questions, just appreciate the information on the batteries. One question is, do you know what time we'll be getting started Wednesday morning? This is KG5 BCR, clear.
I'll send an email out to everybody that signed up probably Monday night, Tuesday night at the absolute latest. The event itself starts at 8 o'clock, but I don't know what time yet they consider it to be live. I'm waiting for the final information from the gentleman that has put this event together, and I'll be in contact with him tomorrow for sure. I would expect we probably need to be on site 7:30-ish or at your assignment, so I'll let you know as I start to dole them out. So thank you for asking. Any other questions?
Nope, that's all for now. Thank you.
And thank you for signing up. AF5RZ, good evening. Your questions and comments.
Hey, Guy in the Net. Appreciate the information tonight. One thing I did want to mention, Guy, I think I mentioned it in my email, maybe, I can't remember, but those lithium iron phosphate batteries require a special charger. So once you can use a lead acid, you know, typical battery charger, will charge those up to about 60%. But once they get to 60%, they need to switch to a constant voltage to get up that remaining 40%. So if you're using a typical, you know, trickle charger, battery tender on those lithium iron phosphates, you're not going to get the full charge out of them. But that's it for me. AF5RZ, 73s. I'll be clear.
Andrew, I'm glad you mentioned that. I meant to say something about it, and I totally forgot. One of the things about the lithium iron phosphate batteries, guys, is they run a higher charge voltage. That's why you need that. The thing that's special about the charger is it's a higher output. Andrew, did yours come with the 2-amp or the 4-amp output charger?
It came with the 2-amp, but somehow I managed to lose it and ended up calling them up and just ordering the 4-amp to go with it.
Okay, because I ordered the 15-amp-hour battery, and they sent me the 4-amp-hour. I was just curious about that. So, well, that'll improve your charge rate. So I got the 15, so it's a little bit heavier than yours. But like I said, I tend to do things overkill. So thank you very much. KC5GOY Net Control, Denton County Aries Training Net. Next on the list is KG5KAJ. Good evening. Your questions and comments.
Good evening, Guy, and everybody on the net. No questions, comments. Great education on batteries. A lot of information there to pick up for normal uses for cars, boats, and everything else. With that, this is KG5KAJ. Back to net.
All righty, appreciate you checking in tonight. Hope you have a good evening. N5IKD, good evening, Robert. Your questions and comments.
Well, the batteries have always been very important. I've been wanting to get my station on 100% battery power, you know, in solar and or wind. Also, it's also great to use in parks on the air or soda and or other remote locations. So it's a very interesting subject, and it's one that's moving up on our priority list quickly. And one thing I've noticed, though, as the power density gets higher, one concern is the fires that are starting, you know, whenever a battery gets deformed or the charger misbehaves. So something to keep an eye out on. You know, you don't want to burn your house down. N5IKD.
Appreciate that, Robert. And that's important to mention. The ones that seem to be the worst right now are the lithium ion batteries. They are pickier. We've all heard about the airplane incidences and most recently the hoverboards. So the hoverboards have been a big thing, but, you know, cheap Chinese batteries, you know, could be a problem. Supposedly, now I think this is still early days though, supposedly the lithium iron phosphate batteries don't have this problem, but I think we thought all that about the lithium ion batteries earlier on too, so time will tell. So, yeah, but you do need to kind of keep an eye on your batteries, guys. All righty, KG5IBN, good evening. Your questions and comments.
AriesNet.
Good evening, Guy in the Net. I'm right now running with two marine batteries with 80-watt solar panel, and that's been working out real well for me. Guy, where is the link to that article on the QRZ website, KG5IBN?
Okay, the Dr. Zen column is going to be on the ARRL website under QST. You will need to be a member of the league to get to it, though. Well, I appreciate you checking in the net tonight. And if you're not an ARRL member, chances are you know somebody that's a ham that is. So just see if you can borrow, you know, this month's copy of QST. So thank you very much for checking in. KG5 November Zulu Hotel. Good evening. Your questions and comments for the net tonight. KG5, November Zulu Hotel. Questions and comments for the net tonight? Okay, station not heard. KM5, Papa Charlie Charlie. Good evening, Peggy. Any questions or comments tonight?
No questions or comments for tonight. Back to net control.
Thank you very much, Peggy, and I hope you're enjoying your summer break. November 5, Juliet Tango. Your questions and comments. Last call for N5, Juliet Tango. Alrighty, station not heard. KG5, November Sierra Hotel. Your questions and comments for the net tonight. Kilo Golf 5, November Sierra Hotel. Last call. Kilo Charlie 0, Uniform Oscar. Your questions and comments for the net tonight. N5IKD, this is Net Control.
This is N5IKD.
Okay, I was beginning to wonder if it was me or not. Thank you, Robert. Last call for KC0UUO. Alrighty, station not heard. KB6, Doug, I always goof this. WB6, VXK, your questions or comments for the net tonight?
My comments is that even though you mess up my call, you do run fantastic nets, as you always do. This one was no exception. They're all good. And you're doing a great job for the club and amateur radio in general. Anyway, back to you, WB6VXK.
All righty, Doug, thanks for the comments. And sometimes I get it right. I don't know why I have trouble. Thank you very much. Have a good evening. KF5KBN, good evening, Scott.
Good evening, Guy and Annette. That was interesting tonight. I learned a lot that I didn't know, and I appreciate it. KF5KBN, back to net.
Well, I appreciate you checking in tonight, Scott. Have a good evening. Last call for stations. Any stations that I've either missed or wishing to check in at this time, please give your call sign phonetically and wait to be acknowledged by Net Control.
Kilo Delta 5, Lima Bravo Kilo, Brian.
Golf 5, Hotel Lima.
Alrighty, KD5LBK. Good evening, Brian. You questions and comments for the net tonight?
Unrelated question that I will save till after the net, if possible. The comments on the net is this is the first net I've been able to attend in if ever, and it was extremely interesting. I always knew that batteries had a level, and then they'd like fell off the table as far as their amps they can put out, and then you're just confirming that for the different kinds of batteries.
Yes, sir, and it does vary among composition. One of the things some people can use to number one, to get the battery voltages, well, the supply voltage, I should say, up to a higher level is like MFJ's battery booster. It will pull more current from your battery, but it can get you that 13.8, so that's something to keep in mind when you do that, but it is an option by all means. So that's something to bear in mind. Appreciate you checking in tonight, Brian. And after HHL's comments, and I wrap up the net, I'll hang around for a minute. KG5HHL, any questions or comments?
Net as always. Back to net. KG5HHL.
All righty. Well, I appreciate everybody checking into the net tonight. Check the club calendar. We will have our next Aries training net. It'll be the Thursday before the club meeting on this repeater at 7:30 p.m. I appreciate everybody checking in the net tonight. If I see you at Tour de Cure, I look forward to seeing you there. I will be delivering the club trailer to the field day site on Saturday, and then I'm taking Jonathan, and we're going to go do a daddy-son field day this year. With that, I appreciate everybody checking in, and give me a minute to let the repeater return to normal use.